The Iranian president says that his country's punitive military action against Israel was limited and calculated. The death toll in Gaza nears 33,900 as intense Israeli attacks claim dozens more lives. Also, U.S. police make arrests as Google workers protest the Gaza genocide, their company's contract with Israel. Well, welcome to our studios in the capital, Tehran. This is news. Thanks for joining us. Iran's president says the reprisal attack launched on Israeli military targets in the occupied territories was a calculated move.
The Iranian military punished and reined in the Israeli regime. This shows Iran's power. Today, the whole world admits that what the Iranian armed forces did with the wise Islamic Revolution leader's prudence was not only a true promise coming true, but also a precise and calculated move. Today, it is being acknowledged by the world leaders. It was an extremely calculated move.
President Raisi made the comments in a ceremony in Tehran marking National Army Day. He said that Iran's operation shattered Tel Aviv regime's hollow power. He said the punitive action was taken on a limited scale, just to punish the regime. But if it had been a full-blown operation, he added, nothing would have been left of the Tel Aviv regime. He also warned that Israel will receive a harsh response in case of the slightest act of aggression against Iran. The president said that Iran's military might can bring security to the whole region. He underlined that hatred toward the U.S. and Israel, as well as support for the resistance front, has grown more than ever. Earlier we were joined by former senior British diplomat Craig Murray with his take on Iran's recent retaliatory operation against Israel. Let's take a listen.
In international law, Iran had the right to retaliate against an attack. And remember, a diplomatic premise is in law the territory of the state which occupies it. So this was an attack on Iranian territory in law, and Article 51 of the UN Charter provides the right of self-defense in those circumstances. So Iran was within its rights in international law. There's one further point I want to make on that, which is that it's being claimed that the presence of Iranian military personnel in the premises and Iranian intelligence personnel in the premises would invalidate the diplomatic status. That's simply nonsense, because all British and American embassies, virtually every single one, hosts either a CIA or an MI6 station doing intelligence work. They all have military personnel inside and often have additional visiting military personnel there. Those are perfectly normal functions of a diplomatic premise.
Journalist and political analyst from Belgrade, John Bosnich, joined us with his take on Iran's reciprocal action against the Israeli regime over its recent attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria.
Israel's strike on the Iranian consulate was a strike at Iran, and under international law, Iran had the right to respond. So in these sequence of events, Iran has followed international law and Israel has not. And this cannot be stressed enough. We also know that these events did not come from nowhere. Israel has been conducting an indiscriminate mass killing that includes tens of thousands of civilians. And the response around the world, not just from Iran, is that Israel is committing what amounts to a genocide under the definition set down by the United Nations and international law. It couldn't be more clear. If you're not producing your own military defenses, you are always vulnerable to external attack. And now, with the power projection that Iran has demonstrated by the bombardment of Israeli airspace, in effect, Iran has now warned Israel that the game is over. There's no longer one great giant who can crush anybody in the region, and it's going to have to be some kind of relationship that's based on respect for the sovereignty of other peoples. Israel tells America what to do in Israel's interests through their Israel lobby inside the U.S. Congress. So we're seeing a weakening of U.S. support for Israel. We're seeing a weakening of regional support for Israel. And we're seeing a worldwide swell of anger over the indiscriminate killing of tens of thousands of innocent civilians.
The senior Iranian military commander says homegrown munitions and military hardware were put on display on National Army Day. In an interview with the Arabic-language Al Alam News Network, Brigadier General Kiomas Haydari gave the details of the defense equipment showcased. He said that drone and missile capabilities, armor-piercing equipment, smart weapons with pinpoint accuracy, and breakthroughs in the field of electronic warfare were among the products paraded in ceremonies marking National Army Day. Haydari then touched upon Iran's reprisal attack on Israeli military targets in the occupied territories. He said the operation was conducted a few days after Israel's terrorist attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, only due to political considerations. The general warned that Iran will respond in less than an hour if its interests are targeted again. Well, nations across the region have widely welcomed Iran's massive retaliatory operation against the Israeli regime. A correspondent in Turkey has talked to people on how they see Iran's unprecedented missile and drone attack on the Israeli-occupied territories.
They had every right to do what they did, because any other country, if their embassy or consulate was flattened, they will have the same reaction. If Turkey's, any consulate or embassy for Turkey or any other country, I believe they would do the same. Iran had every right to do what they have done. If Israel to bomb any of Turkish consulates or embassies around the world, I believe Turkey will not be quiet about it, and they will do much, much more than what Iran has done.
I am absolutely against targeting other countries' consulate. I do not support the attack on Iran's consulate at all, and I tell Israel not to dare try something like this with Turkey, because we are the descendants of Ottomans, and our response will be very strong.
If Israel attacked Turkey's consulate, Turkey would not stand silent. Of course, the response would be strong, and that would be a legitimate response when another country attacks you.
This is seen as a conflict between two countries, but if someone attacked me, I have a legitimate right to respond. I want the end of Israel, but this seems like an unrealistic dream.
The Iraqi people and leaders have hailed Iran's retaliatory operation against Israel, which came amid the Tel Aviv regime's war in Gaza. They say the attack was legitimate and within the rights of self-defense after the failure of the international community to condemn the deadly Israeli strike on Iran's consulate. Muslim Salem has more from Baghdad.
After days of anticipation, Iran unleashed a barrage of missiles and drones against Israeli targets in the occupied territories. The legitimate response came after Israel attacked Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st, violating all international laws and conventions.
Iran's response comes within the international laws, specifically Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, which gives Iran the legitimate right to defend its national security. The Iranian attack on Israel has changed the geopolitical map in the region, and it was a strong warning to the evil regime.
The Iraqi people, as well as resistance leaders, hailed the Islamic Republic for the unprecedented response, dubbed Operation True Promise, which was within the inherent right of self-defense that entitles any country to protect its diplomatic institutions. Iran's retaliation came after the UN Security Council failed to condemn Israel's attack, which killed 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps.
The resistance and the people of Iraq surely stand by the Islamic Republic of Iran amid the failure of international community and the UN Security Council to condemn the Israeli attack on the Damascus consulate. Iran had all the rights to defend itself and respond with proper means and timing.
The significant operation clearly shows that Iran will not hesitate to take action against any threat to its citizens and institutions. Now, with its capabilities and military evolution, Iran has significantly changed the rules of battlefield in modern times. Iran's retaliatory operation, which came after a long time of strategic patience in the face of Israeli's brutalities, shows that the Tel Aviv regime's days of hit and run are over, and Iran does not hesitate to exact a devastating revenge on its enemy, despite its all-out Western support. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
More deaths and destruction in Gaza, where the Israeli regime continues its intense attacks against civilians.
Like the rest of Rafah residents, we were shocked when an Israeli rocket hit a house of displaced people. My sister's son-in-law, her daughter, and her children were having dinner when an Israeli missile demolished their house over their heads.
I woke up to the sound of girls shouting mama and children calling each other's names. I came running and found children coming out running. We were stumbling upon bodies of martyrs, with body parts and corpses scattered all over the place inside the shop and out there.
At least 13 Palestinians were killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza City. There are among 56 people killed in the past 24 hours. The total death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza now stands at nearly 33,900. Most of the victims are women and children. The Gaza health system has almost collapsed as hospitals are a main target of the attacks. Meanwhile, almost the entire population of Gaza are struggling to get access to food amid Israeli restrictions on humanitarian aid into the besieged territory. We've spoken to our correspondent Muti Abu Masaba in central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala. He says Israeli attacks have continued against civilians and residential buildings all across the besieged Gaza Strip.
Over the last night, the Israeli occupation forces carried out a ground offensive against the eastern outskirts of Deir al-Balah city. Dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings were completely destroyed, while another medicine factory was also destroyed over those relentless and ceaseless Israeli strikes and attacks. The current situation is still tense there. In the same context, when it comes to al-Nusrat refugee camp in the central area of Gaza Strip, particularly the northern part of the camp, it is still under the heavy bombardments and attacks of the Israeli occupation forces. We are talking about roughly 7 consecutive days with these heavy and vehement Israeli airstrikes and artillery shelling. Hundreds of the Palestinian residential buildings were completely destroyed and leveled to the ground over those vehement and cruel attacks. Needless to mention that al-Nusrat refugee camp is considered as one of the most densely populated camps and areas across all areas of Gaza Strip. Dozens of the Palestinian casualties were left behind those attacks. So when it comes to Gaza City, as you know, that the Israeli fighter drones attacked a group of the Palestinian civilians who were gathering near a place in order to get an access to the internet. The Israeli occupation forces attacked them point blank without any warnings. In the meantime, in the same city, in Gaza City, Azeitun neighborhood was also under heavy and intense Israeli airstrikes and attacks, particularly the southern and the eastern parts of Azeitun neighborhood. While moving to the southern part of Gaza Strip, particularly Rafah City, another appalling massacre was committed after the Israeli warplanes carried out several airstrikes against Yebna neighborhood. Yebna is considered as one of the most densely populated areas in Rafah City.
Israel's months of genocidal war in the Gaza Strip has not only left tens of thousands of Palestinians dead, but it has displaced more than 1.7 million others. Most displaced people are in Rafah, a southern city that remains under constant threats of an Israeli invasion. People there say that a ground operation in Rafah will leave them nowhere to go. Let's hear the reaction of a few of them.
It will be a huge problem if ground invasion takes place in Rafah. You can see more than 1.5 million people in Rafah. Where can they go? We can barely find space for each other. Every tent hosts 6, 4, or 3 families instead of one. The least you can find is 2 families inside a tent.
Of course, we are scared, terrified, and whoever says he's not afraid is lying. We can't go anywhere. Mawasi refugee camp can't take more people, neither Rafah. Geographically, it can't take more. We are really worried.
My husband is in Hebron, and I have no one, only me and my children. We are scared if an invasion takes place in Rafah. Where can we go? We are more than 20 people. I really dream about going back to my home. I wish I can go back to my apartment, even if it is rubble now. I'll stay in a tent there, but at my place. We are emotionally devastated. For me, it's a great tragedy. My children are emotionally unstable because we were hit by an F-16 in Gaza. My husband was martyred in the beginning of the war. We fled to Khan Yunis. We didn't get to stay for a month and a half. Israeli forces dropped leaflets on us, and the whole area where I was staying was damaged. Again, we fled to Rafah, but there's no way to go after that. Where can we go? My children are devastated all the time.
Dozens of employees of the American tech giant Google have demonstrated in front of the company's building, demanding the end of cooperation with the Israeli regime over its massacre of Palestinians.
Free Palestine!
Free! Free Palestine!
Free! Free! Free Palestine!
Free! Free! Free Palestine!
We demand that Google drop Project Nimbus, the $1.2 billion contract between them and Israel. We demand that Google protect their Arab, Muslim, and Palestinian worker voices from harassment, retaliation, suppression. And we demand that Google recognize Project Nimbus as a workplace safety and health concern.
Several protesters detained as they were demonstrating on Tuesday in Centerville, California. Employees demanded the cancellation of Google's $1.2 billion contract with Israel for a project known as Nimbus. The project is part of Israel's agreement with Amazon and Google that provide cloud computing facilities to the regime and its army. Demonstrators criticized Google for the lack of transparency in announcing the details of the contract. They also said that the Israeli army is using artificial intelligence to kill Palestinians in Gaza. This is not the first time anti-Israeli demonstrations are held in the U.S. On Tuesday, a group of pro-Palestine activists blocked the iconic Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco for hours in solidarity with people in war-torn Gaza. And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Limelight.
The blood of the Palestinian martyrs and the tears of their children will always remain an eloquent, if tragic, testimony to the utter hypocrisy of Western human rights crusaders and the prevalent unjust world order. Just as apartheid was declared a crime against humanity and a threat to world peace, there cannot be peace in the world with the presence of Zionism, Zionism and the Zionist entity should not be allowed to exist in the community of nations. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International wrote, "Even before the creation of Israel from the rib of terrorism, this settler colonial entity weaved a web of lies and myths to hide its litany of crimes against humanity. This apartheid entity developed a very sophisticated propaganda machine known as Hasbara. Hollywood played a role in spreading these myths, producing films such as The Exodus and Ben-Hur. Mainstream media spread lies such as land without people for a people without land, that Zionism was a national liberation movement. It's called resistance by the indigenous occupied people, terrorism. The ethnic cleansing and collective punishment were enabled by the United States of America, Britain, Germany, France, and other settler colonial states such as Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. All these countries were settler colonial entities that decimated the indigenous populations of the lands they occupied. These same countries continue to support the apartheid Zionist entity with arms, diplomatic cover, and financial aid. What possesses a people, themselves erstwhile victims, that can perpetrate such horrendous crimes we have been witnessing for the last 6 months in Gaza?" Zionist ideology is a fundamental pillar of Israel. It is a racist, apartheid settler colonial state that believes Palestine should be exclusively Jewish, without any Palestinians, Muslim, or Christians. They insist that Palestinians must be expelled from that land. It perfected an ideology that dehumanized the indigenous population. It regards the indigenous population as subhuman, unleashing its military might that would inflict death and destruction on the innocent, infants, and women. The perpetrators of such horrors have no conscience, are without remorse, and act with impunity. Zionism indoctrinated into the Jewish people of a toxic mix of fear, anti-Palestinian sentiment, rewarding Israeli settler colonialists for aggression against Palestinians, all of which has bred a lack of empathy in Israelis towards the Palestinians. Fear among Israelis is sustained through militarization, reframing resistance as terrorism, remembering past atrocities such as the Holocaust, constant accusations of anti-Semitism, and focusing on perceived and manufactured threats. These ensure the settler population's continued support for aggressive, expansionist, racist, and genocidal policies. All settler colonial endeavors, including South Africa's, typically depend on depicting the targeted territory as uninhabited and its existing inhabitants as inhuman barbarians unworthy of any land. This portrayal allowed Zionists to displace the indigenous population of Palestine without moral columns, portraying the establishment of Israel not as the destruction of a people, but as the construction of a civilized villa in the jungle. And if there is any resistance by the indigenous population, call them simply terrorists. The South Africans know well that the terrorist label is in fact a badge of honor. South Africa's former president Nelson Mandela was on the U.S. terrorist list right up to 2008. Zionism is a racist settler colonialist movement which opportunistically coupes aspects of Judaism. This enterprise is based on the mass expulsion of the Palestinians and usurpation of their land for the exclusive use of Jews. Zionism means occupation, ethnic cleansing, unending massacres, bombardment of entire civilian population, wars of aggression, dispossession, exile, systematic racism, and apartheid-style separation. Zionism means that there will be massacres until the establishment of a Jewish-only state in Palestine. Jewish in the sense of giving privileges to Jews and denying almost all the rights of the indigenous Palestinians. It is not surprising, then, that they would ignore the United Nations, the International Court of Justice, international humanitarian law, and arrogantly dismiss any judgments by any international institution that rule against Israel. Just as white supremacy in South Africa gave rise to apartheid, Bantustans, inferior education, job reservation, group areas, etc., Jewish supremacy in Palestine gave rise to apartheid, exclusively expulsion, and now genocide. Unless the occupiers of Palestine are de-Zionized, injustice against the Palestinians will continue. There will be no end to the killings because it has become embedded in the psyche of the Zionists to dominate and enslave those it perceives as lesser human beings. They have done this for the last 75 years without accountability. It is the courage of the South African government that, for the first time in the Zionist regime's history, it has been taken to task for its egregious crimes against humanity. And this challenge is not only against the racist Israeli entity, but also against those Western regimes that back Israel and the shameless Arab rulers who care more about protecting their illegitimate thrones than human rights and justice. The world today is divided between a minority of powerful imperialist white supremacists and their puppets who support the genocide of the Palestinians and the majority of the people who do not. The ICJ decision places the Zionist regime squarely in the company of genocidal white colonial settler societies. As South Africa's moral voice, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, stated, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." The Palestinian struggle for liberation, self-determination, and self-rule is actually a war. They fight on behalf of the liberation of the exploited masses in the global south. The blood of the Palestinian martyrs and the tears of their children will always remain an eloquent, if tragic, testimony to the utter hypocrisy of Western human rights crusaders and the prevalent unjust world order. Just as apartheid was declared a crime against humanity and a threat to world peace, there cannot be peace in the world with the presence of Zionism. Zionism and the Zionist entity should not be allowed to exist in the community of nations.
علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
جنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة. وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 185th sermon, and this is one of those areas where Imam Ali alayhi salam tries to draw our attention towards an important issue that can face the society, and that is to be engrossed in blessings and become forgetful about the duties that are necessary to be executed by each and every member of the community. And once these blessings become many, they can lead to certain side effects. So a community needs to be prepared on how to deal with these kinds of blessings. How should a person, prepare himself and the society to combat these difficulties? So those difficulties are that a society now, because of those difficulties that come due to extra blessings and not being able to kind of plan for those blessings in the right way, lead to backtracking of the society sometimes and can be very dangerous. Inshallah, we shall discuss about what are those difficulties that a community can face.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, if you remember in the previous session, we talked about the fact that when the blessings become too much, the material forms of blessings, when they are multitudinous, then one of the dangers is that we can have a society which is divided, whereby the rich become richer and the poor remain to be poor, and sometimes even become poorer. Why? Especially this happens when the wealth is not distributed well, and there is no proper planning and organization in place to be able to do that. So firstly, this has to be given very much attention to. But sometimes even if these systems are in place, people do not abide by the law, and they become corrupt, and they tend to bypass all of these systems to achieve their material objectives. So this is a problem that can be faced, and these are the things that actually lead to the backtracking of the society, and the society sees that, for example, their aims are not being achieved because of the fact that now people are more focused on enjoying life, on just spending without any proper order, and therefore, this society ends up to be just a materialistic society in the rights, if you want to say, and it can have other effects in the future. And we have seen that happening to the societies in the past also. When the communities become affluent, then they become forgetful of God, and then they become forgetful of what they need to achieve as servants of God. Now, apart from that, there is also another effect that can affect the society, and that is that people themselves can become spoilt. They can suffer spiritual harm. Inshallah, we shall discuss about this in the coming segment.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, it is completely natural that people, when they see a lot of wealth, they kind of get excited about that wealth. They want to spend it in different ways, and they want to just achieve an affluent life. I mean, this is something that people normally dream about. And this is, we need to be realistic. Many people, unfortunately, in the world, they are materialistic in their mindset. I'm not saying most people, but many have that idea. But they should realize, firstly, that primarily it is not wrong to think about material progress. And even if a person likes it, likes the glitter, liking it by itself is not bad. Being attached to it and not being focused on spirituality because of these things is what is not encouraged. So therefore, a person should ask himself sincerely that why does he want or she want to achieve this material affluence. Now, many times when communities and people face these material blessings, they dive into them. And when suddenly their material, their material wealth and their material state becomes vast, they forget other things. They get so engrossed. Al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayat dunya. Because wealth and children are the beauty of this world. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it as a test for us. You know? Zayyanna ma'ala al-ard. We have made beautiful that which is on top of the earth. We have made it look beautiful rather. Zayyanna. It looks beautiful. And then he says, Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha. We have made that which is on top of the earth a beauty for the earth. Linabluakum, so that we can test you. You see? So these are some things that we need to keep in mind, that if we take these as a test, then inshallah we can overcome and we can easily be able to balance our lives in a way that we can also achieve our spiritual goals. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشرق
الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
By continuing to arm the Zionist regime as it engineers a famine in Gaza, the U.S. regime is disregarding its own domestic law, which prohibits the provision of military assistance to states that block humanitarian aid provided by Washington. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, has said he was deeply troubled by the reports on the Zionist regime's military use of artificial intelligence tools resulting in a high level of civilian casualties. The UN chief added, AI should be used as a force for good to benefit the world, not contribute to waging war on an industrial level, blaring accountability. Why the use of artificial intelligence would blur accountability is unclear, since human personnel are involved in the development, approval, and use of that technology. The Plus 972 story describes how Israeli personnel made it a policy to strike supposed targets when they were in their homes. One of the artificial intelligence systems used by the military for this purpose is called Where is Daddy? Thereby maximizing civilian casualties. The focus on the technology by which the child-killing regime of Israel is wiping out entire families in their homes serves to obscure that targeting civilians and civilian objects in order to instill terror in the population has been a feature of Israel's most recent major offensive in Gaza. Paul Bigger, founder of Tech for Palestine, said that the use of artificial intelligence should be viewed as a systematization of genocide. It creates the system by which mass murder is enabled and accomplished. Bigger explained that the AI programs used by the Zionist regime serve the exact same purpose as Nazi Germany's concentration camps. They allow Israel to kill automatically and systematically. Additionally, the Zionist regime's rationale for supposedly targeting fighters in their homes, if one isn't already convinced that maximizing civilian casualties is the true objective, is not permissible under international law. According to Itai Epstein, an international law expert, Israel cannot lawfully claim targeting on the basis of continuous combat function. The premise upon which it is attempting to legitimize the killing of Palestinian resistance fighters not directly participating in hostilities at the time. He added, Israel has automated the removal of rules governing a lawful attack, resulting in colossal harm to civilians and civilian infrastructure. Chris Gunness, a former journalist and past spokesperson for UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, said that the use of the AI system, as revealed by the Plus 972 article, rips up the narrative that Israel has been killing so many civilians because Hamas uses human shields. That propaganda point is frequently trotted by the Zionist regime official and unofficial spokesperson and has even been parroted by Guterres, the UN Secretary General. Washington's willingness to provide arms and diplomatic cover for this situation has led some, including journalist Sam Husseini, to suspect that for parts of the U.S. establishment, the complete destruction or threat of that as a means of leverage of international law may be an actual goal, not a cost of Israel's genocide in Gaza. While professing to be outraged and heartbroken by the Zionist regime's killing of the world's central kitchen personnel, Biden is not changing his policy of unconditional material support for its slaughter. A blatantly horrific and stupid mistake, one of his senior officials told Politico. The Biden administration is not only gutting the meaning of international law, but also the admittedly flawed institutions that are meant to uphold it. After nearly 6 months of genocide in Gaza, Washington finally allowed the UN Security Council to pass a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire for the remainder of Ramadan after vetoing three previous resolutions. But as soon as the resolution was passed, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, claimed that it was non-binding. The Palestinian writer Samer Badawi observed, despite its baselessness, her remark was surely heard in the war rooms of Tel Aviv and Al-Quds. Badawi added, hours after the vote, Palestinians in Gaza reported an uptick in Israeli military attacks, including upon the masses who have sought shelter in the Strip's southern half. By continuing to arm the Zionist regime as it engineers a famine in Gaza, The U.S. regime is disregarding its own domestic law, which prohibits the provision of military assistance to states that block humanitarian aid provided by Washington. Humanitarian organizations operating in the territory have jointly stated that the humanitarian response in Gaza, including U.S.-funded humanitarian assistance, has been consistently and arbitrarily denied, restricted, and impeded by Israeli authorities. Anil Shalain, who recently resigned from her State Department post due to the Gaza genocide, said that her former employer's determination that the Zionist regime was compliant with U.S. and international law makes a mockery of the administration's claims to care about the law or about the fate of innocent Palestinians. The Biden administration will be remembered for abetting the child-killing regime of Israel's twisting of the meaning of international law, including conventions created in the wake of Nazi Holocaust in Europe, so that the industrial slaughter of human rights being would never be repeated. But the institutional complicity in the U.S. spans beyond Washington to the media, who have for decades dehumanized Palestinians and the resistance, universities who uttered no words of condemnation for the genocide in Gaza, to the medical associations that have been silent over the Zionist regime's destruction of Palestinian health infrastructure. The child-killing regime of Israel must be held accountable for its crimes in Gaza, where it has been rewarded with impunity before. The fabricated regime of Israel and complicit regimes in the West must pay reparations commensurate with the destruction, death, and harm inflicted on the Palestinian people, as Alvarez states.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Once Zurarah asked from Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, the narrator says, qala qultu lahu, I said to Imam, or I asked from Imam, ayyu shay'in aw ayyul a'mal huwa afdal ba'da al-ma'rifah. O Imam, O son of Rasulullah, what is the best deed, what is the best amal after knowing you, after knowing Imam? When we have ma'rifat of you, Ahlul Bayt, what is the best deed after that? Qal, Imam replied to me, ma min shay'in ba'da al-ma'rifah ya'adilu hadhi salat. There's nothing higher than, after ma'rifah, there's nothing higher than salat. Salat is the second most highest after ma'rifah. So Imam put ma'rifah number one. First receive or first achieve the ma'rifah, first gain the ma'rifah, first learn the ma'rifah. What is the ma'rifah, Imam? What is the knowing of Imam? Know your Imam completely, thoroughly. And after that, the topmost deed is salat. And then Imam said, وَلَا بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَالسَّلَاةِ شَيْءٌ يَعْدَلُ الزَّكَاةِ. After ma'rifat and salat, which is called in some languages namaz or prayer, after ma'rifat, after knowing Imam and prayers, there's nothing like zakat. Zakat means sharing your blessings with others, helping out others. When you help others, when you always care about others, others means your family, your parents, your community members, your friends, your neighbors. When you do good for others, this is the third one. So number one is ma'rifah, the top amal, the top deed, and then afterwards is salat, the prayers, and then Imam said zakat. وَلَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ يَعْدَلُ الصَّوْمِ. And after this, fasting is the topmost deed. Topmost deed. Number fourth. And then Imam said, وَلَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing after this equal to them. Like يَعْدَلُ الْحَجِ. Like Hajj. So the first thing Imam said, ma'rifat is the topmost thing. And then prayers. And then zakat means alms, helping out others. And then Imam said, after that, ba'da dhalik shayun, not going to be equal to be with them, like sawm, then fasting is the topmost thing. And after fasting, hajj is the topmost. Hajj is the fifth topmost. And then after that, Imam said, وَفَاتِحَةُ ذَلِكْ كُلِّهِ مَعْرِفَتُنَا. If you want to start for all these grades, achieve all those levels, you want to do all those deeds, start all those deeds, all these deeds, with our ma'rifah. Everything starts with the ma'rifah. وَخَاتِمَتُهُ مَعْرِفَتُنَا. And at the end is also ma'rifah. So all of our deeds, make sure that all of our deeds are bounded between two things. We should start with ma'rifah, knowing our Imam, surrender to our Imam, and we should end things on this point, knowing our Imam and ma'rifat of our Imam. In this between, we do salat, sawm, hajj, zakat, khums, whatever you want to do is accepted. But if you don't start with ma'rifah and you don't end up with ma'rifah, you are in trouble. So you have to keep your deeds between these two things, between this two, ma'rifat and ma'rifah. Knowing your Imam, surrender to your Imam, and then start your deeds. When you finish your deeds, know your Imam and be surrendered to your Imam. This submissiveness, this surrender, being surrendered, and this type of following, this knowing of Ahlul Bayt is the main key of everything. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد